The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Jesus went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers together with the police from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked him, "Who are you looking for?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they stepped back and fell to the ground. Again, Jesus asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you are looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that had spoken, "I did not lose any single one of those whom you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had the sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into its sheath. Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So the soldiers, the officer, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. First, they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter was standing outside at the gate. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out, spoke to the woman who guarded the gate, and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" Peter said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it and warming themselves. Peter also was standing with them and warming himself. Then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answered, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in a temple where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said this, one of the police standing nearby struck Jesus on the face, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" And Jesus answered, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?" Then Anna sent Jesus bound to Caiaphas the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. Those who were standing near the fire asked him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" Peter denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment the cock crowed. Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid the ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he was to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him, but you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" They shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a bandit. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put on his head, and they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him and say, "Hail, King of the Jews," and striking him on the face. Pilate went out again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." When the chief priest and the police saw Jesus, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has claimed to be the Son of God." Now when Pilate heard this, he was more afraid than ever. He entered his headquarters again and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate then, therefore, said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have the power to release you and power to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no power over me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claimed to be a king sets himself against the emperor." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at the place called the stone pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of the preparation of the Passover, and it was about noon. Pilate said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but the emperor." Then Pilate handed Jesus over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, with him two others, on one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross, and it read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but this man said, I am king of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it. This was to fulfill what Scripture says. They divided my clothes among themselves. For my clothing they cast lots. And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, Woman, here is your son. Then he said to the disciples, Here is your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, I am thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, It is finished. Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, especially because that Sabbath was a day of great solemnity. So they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified man broken and the bodies removed. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. He who saw this has testified, so that you also may believe. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth. These things occurred so that the scripture might be fulfilled. None of his bones shall be broken. And again, another passage of scripture says, They will look on the one whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and removed his body. Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with the spices in linen and cloth, according to the burial customs of the Jews. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and in the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And so, because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Today should be a quieter day. It is a darker day, a day which we should have to reflect, not only for the journey of Jesus Christ, but also for our own journey in our own lives. So it was at 7 a.m. that the soldiers led Jesus away into the Praetorium, which was the Roman governor's residence. And so the abuse of Jesus' body began. You might try to track Jesus' journey through the gospel, if you read, and you will see exactly where and where he was, because they put even the timing there. And for me, anyone after hearing this story, you feel gutted. Something in you tells you, you cannot ignore this. You can't. And these events began on a Thursday night leading up to Easter morning have changed the world forever. And remember, for that night, Jesus was in jail when he was arrested. The first, he was brought to Anna, then to Caiaphas, the chief priest, and then the whole council of the Sanhedrin decided to send Jesus to Pilate for questioning. So that journey from Pilate's residence to Golgotha is a journey that all of us should take a day to learn from. And John tells us that Jesus left Caiaphas that morning early, let's say 4:45, 4:30 in the morning early, when the cock started to crow after Peter denied Christ three times. Then after that, a lot happened, which led to the crucifixion. People say close to 9 a.m. and then death on the cross, which was in the afternoon around 3 p.m. So that means he spent 6 full hours perched on that cross. But a few of issues caught my eye and I wanted to focus on them for us today. And one is Simon of Cyrene, who helped carry Jesus' cross. And we hear his story in the Gospel of Mark and Matthew, and we will hear it also in the Stations of the Cross. And I was reminded of Jesus' words that says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So what burdens have we been carrying in our lives? Maybe the burdens of the past failures, maybe the burdens of guilt. Jesus took it all once for all. Jesus had not slept that Thursday night. Not one time, not slept. He was beaten, flogged. I don't know if he would ever been able to even carry anything. But they wanted him to carry the cross. And it is believed to have weighed about 300 pounds. Can you believe that? 300 pounds. And that's not to count the crossbar. That crossbar, which would also be about 75 pounds. So Simon of Cyrene was brought in to help. So he shared Jesus' yoke that day. Literally. He embraced some of Jesus' suffering. And the truth is that in our lives, we are afraid. We are unwilling to embrace even our own sufferings. But this carrying of the cross must have changed him. Don't you think so? Jesus might have put some of the blood that came from his head because of the crown of thorns. There was blood already on that big cross. And so when he was charged to carry this cross, you can imagine that it was blood of Jesus on his life, on his himself as well. So that road from Jerusalem to Golgotha must have been so extra crowded. Women wailing loudly and a trail of blood mingled with the dust in the road. And Jesus was very vulnerable at that point. His body pushed to the breaking point. So are we willing to carry our own crosses? Are we willing to carry each other's crosses, to embrace suffering, or to sympathize with other people's suffering? And I bet Simon of Cyrene was transformed like many others who have met Jesus Christ. And I would quote maybe the thief on the cross, he was transformed just by saying to Jesus, may I have a space with you? Today you will be together with me in paradise. How about Mary Magdalene, who cried at the feet of Jesus? She was transformed. How about Peter, who denied Christ three times and repented bitterly later on? He was transformed. They were all forgiven. Lots of acceptance in Jesus Christ. They let God touch them, and they also touch to God. This is interesting because when we are in our own darkest hour, I don't know about you, but when we are in our own darkest hour, we find it so hard to surrender to God. Rather, we rather stay in self-pity and focus on our own wounds and our own problems rather than focusing on God. And Jesus did focus on God. He had to surrender to God in his own dark hour. And this is our chance, maybe Good Friday, to let God touch us. Remember what Jesus said? Father, not my will, but yours. He surrendered his life to the Father, having been treated worse than a criminal, but yet remained obedient to his call. He endured the betrayals, the beatings, the sense of separations with the Father, yet he kept focus on the Father's will. So for today, maybe onwards, I want us to reflect, not only for how tough this was and how unbelievable almost this is, but focus on what that may mean for our journey now on, for what he did for us on the cross and to reconcile us to the Father. Amen.